Well, blessings to you this morning. Been good to be here already and hear God's word being shared. Thank you for that devotional, Henry, on sin and covetousness. In Ephesians, it says, I don't think you read that one. You know what it says in Ephesians? I looked that up. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says it lists these different sins: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Once, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. If you call yourself a Christian, and yeah, there's some strong warnings for that, right? Lord, help us to live lives worthy of what he has called us to. There's other verses too that was going through my mind where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Little things make a big difference. All right, this morning for a message, something that I was thinking about for a little bit already, and I know I've preached on it before. I kind of went back through some of my notes and see if I could find it. Sometimes I don't, it's not recorded. I can't find it anymore. But verses that to me are very precious, that David mentions it quite a bit, and Solomon wrote about it, and that is on the fear of God. How important it is. How important is the fear of God? What does it look like in my life? There's a lot of verses on it. And we can turn, if you want to, you can turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. We're going to read that psalm. Psalms 34. This is a psalm. It says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I'll read this psalm here. It says, and I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Do we as people have fears? And one of the things I wanted to bring out is there's the fear of God, and then there's fears that men have. And I don't know how it is for you, but I do look at the obituaries in the local newspaper. Guess I've lived long enough in the area. Sometimes, you know, there's somebody that I knew. Some people say if you look at the obituaries in the paper, it's a sign that you're getting old, because whatever that may be. But as long as your name's not there, you know you're still here. That's what one guy told me one time. So. But then I look at those sometimes, you know, it's older people. And sometimes it's younger people, and you wonder, you know, what happened, with, you know, was there sickness, was there You know, if somebody dies at in his 30s, you know, it's kind of wondering, you know, was there an ailment or, and sometimes it mentions it. And there was actually in the last one, I think there was one that died in his 30s, late 30s, I think it might have been 39. And I hope that there's something written that there was a fear of God in their lives. Because when somebody dies, it's like the end here, right? If there was no godly fear in their lives, what hope did they have after this? If they didn't repent of their sins. But this one that was 39, it mentions he had a lot of depressions, extreme depression. And I want to lift up the fear of God as something that is better than all the medication. I thought of bringing a bunch of bottles up here. You know, you can get medication for all these different, not saying that it's wrong to take some things sometime, but if we're taking medication for anxiety and fear, I have a little question as to if the fear of God is in my life. But here David is saying, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If we seek the Lord, he's going to deliver us from our own fears. But we have to have the right fear of God. If you look at the meaning of the fear of the Lord, it says, in good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. This is phileo fear. Phileo fear, I think, is like a child, like a reverent fear that a child has for its parents. It's not that they're afraid of them, but they're respect. I think we could use another name in for fear is respect and awe of and respecting God. And then in verse 5, it says there in Psalms 34, it says, they looked unto him and were lighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. I mean, there's just these promises. There's no want to them that fear him. And then also, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I mean, I think most of us are familiar with that song. That's a song that we would sing as a family. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I think it's a good song for young children to learn. If you don't know it, make sure you find out. Ask somebody that can teach it to you. Or we'll sing it. If somebody wants us to sing it, we could sing it as a group here afterwards. Because the fear of the Lord is so important that without it, we miss it. Verse 9, I had read verse 9. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I mean, if you look at what he's using for comparison, like, and here he's using animals, you know, a lion, you might call it a raving beast that is always looking, or looking for something to eat. Here it says, they suffer hunger, but those that fear the Lord will not lack any good thing, shall not want any good thing. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance from them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such as of a contrite spirit. And now notice this next verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all, him out of them all. Sometimes we get the idea that if I serve the Lord, then everything should go right. Everything should go really well for me. But here it's saying, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So don't be surprised if things happen to you that you don't appreciate, you don't like, because we live in a fallen world. But it says the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Just a powerful, this is just, there was so many verses on it, and I'm going to just go through a bunch of them here. Another one is in Psalms 25, verse 12, says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I mean, secret of the Lord, what, you know, there's children, you know, sometimes you think you have a secret that somebody else doesn't know. Well, the Lord has, there's things that he wants to show us, but if there's not a fear of God in my life, then is he going to show it to me? And as we go through this, think of myself as, you know, what in my life, what can you think of in your own life that would represent that the fear of God is present in your life? In Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. To hate evil, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. If to me, it's very simple. It almost brings it down real simple there. It says, to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. You know, if we recognize God's word for what it says, and we obey what it says. Like God says, he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. If we're proud, he's going to resist us. And that should cause me to humble myself. If I see pride in my life, pride, I should say, humility and the fear of God are like, they go together. We'll see this in different verses. And Another one in Proverbs 14, 26 and 27 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." I think my family hears that quite often. I repeat that one. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And I think depression is one of those snares of death. And there's probably others too. There's lots of them. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What comes to your mind when you think of that? I mean, there's lots of snares in life, but the fear of God is like a, and if you think of a fountain that's just, you know, water just coming up and, you know, there's abundance, you're not going to be thirsty, you're always, your thirst is going to be quenched. And the fear of God is just that for each one of us, to depart from the snares of death. Right, here's another one that kind of goes along with you might call it as a choker for covetousness. It says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." I'll try to put that in equation. If you had, it says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." And I think for us as Americans, I think the more we have, the more trouble we have. You know, there's all these little gadgets and stuff that try to make our life easier. And sometimes it almost makes it worse. Especially if the fear of the Lord is lacking. It says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Some of those verses I think would be good to have, or I can say for myself, I think they should be maybe more on somewhere where I can see them every day. I know we have some verses around our house, but some of these simple, you know, when we go out to make a living and when you walk out the door, just, I think it'd be good to rehearse that. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a lot with a lot of trouble. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." We're satisfied. When you have the fear of the Lord, we can be satisfied. Proverbs 22:4 says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Ooh, I guess there comes some riches with it, right? It's a different riches. It's a riches that satisfies. It's not this thing that you always, there, like the worldly riches, you think you might. There's always a little more. If I had just a little more, then I would be satisfied. Well, it never does that. Worldly riches never satisfies. You always, if I could just have a little more. Proverbs 23:17, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." So it doesn't give us, we can read it in the morning and, okay, I think I have the fear of the Lord. But here it says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." It's a continuous thing every day. in another one in Proverbs, this is for the ladies. It mentions the lady says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I was meditating on that a little bit. You know, the other verses are more of a general, you know, everybody, you know, benefits from a, you know, walking in the fear of God. But here in Proverbs 30, because Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman, and then here it says, favor and is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think there's multiple reasons for that, because a woman that fears the Lord, that trains her house in that way, it goes on from generation to generation. It gets passed on. And the Lord has an eye on those that fear him. I'm going to look at some examples. There's Noah in preparing the ark. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. If you picture Noah back in that day, walking in the fear of God, I don't think it was a glamorous thing. I mean, he was. Him and his family were the only ones that left in the boat. And I think the same thing holds true for us today. Walking in the fear of the Lord is not going to be necessarily just a glamorous thing. There's going to be choices that we make that affect where we're going to end up. We're going to make choices that honor God, that represent that we are walking in the fear of God. Abraham says in Genesis 22:12, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This is another test of that. Walking in the fear of God is not necessarily going to be a popular thing. Abraham, when he went out to offer up his son, I mean, it wasn't until he made that move to go out and do what the Lord told him by faith that the Lord said, now I know that thou fearest God. Now there was actually shoe leather. There's actually, he walked it out. That's when God pronounced him that now he knows. Joseph, when he was testing his brothers in Genesis 42:16-18, says, send one of you. They had come over. Joseph's brothers had come over. And now remember how Joseph, he had been sold, his brothers sold him and got rid of him. And they definitely, we could say they were not walking in the fear of God. I mean, they envied him. I mean, his dad gave him a coat of many colors and kind of seemed like he favored him. But they sold him out of envy. You know, when he went out to check up on them, we know the story there. But then when they showed up during the famine, they showed up there and Joseph knew them. And remember, if you think, Joseph's story is an amazing story, because you think of once he got out of prison, you know, he went into prison and how he got promoted. He would have had the power to go back and visit his dad, but he never did, because he knew his brothers. And so when he was testing his brothers, There's a couple of verses there. In Genesis 42, 16 through 18, it says, "Send one of you and let him fetch your brother." He had asked about his youngest brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. He put them in prison for 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God." Now, you know what happens in today's world when people get at odds with each other, when there's murder. Sometimes there's murder. And Joseph, being the second in command and authority, he would have had the power to do that. So the fear of God is like a restraining force in a Christian's life, to not do, because he knew it wasn't right. He knew it wouldn't be right to kill his brothers, but he was testing them. The fear of God kept him from doing what people would do today, maybe. The fear of God looks out for other people. It's not taking advantage of others, because God's word is always looking. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Another one is, the midwives in Egypt refused to take the lives of the Hebrew children. I mean, we see in the world today, I mean, the abortion and things that go on, there's no fear of God. If there was a fear of God, they wouldn't kill young babies like that. That's in Exodus 1:17 and through Exodus 1:21. Says, "But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. They were supposed to throw them in the river. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, 'Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?' And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered as the midwives come to them.' Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass that the midwives feared God, that he made them houses." Because the midwives feared God, it almost seemed like he helped them. The fear of God, because they walked in the fear of God, it says that he made them houses. Another one is in Numbers, when they were, Numbers chapter 25, Numbers 25. This was, Israel commits harlotry, says on the top of my chapter here, and Phinehas stays the plague. I'm just going to read some of the verses here, 6 through 15. "As then, behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 20,400. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Shalu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman was that slain was Cozibai, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of chief house in Midian. Here we see that what Phinehas did, the Lord honored him. As I said before, walking in the fear of the Lord isn't always going to look like a glamorous thing. And here we see it. I mean, they weren't supposed to mingle with the other people. And here they were doing it. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, he got up and, I mean, you would say he moved in the fear of God, and God honored him for that. It says that he shall his seed after him, even the covenant of everlasting priesthood. I mean, there was, because of what he did, God honored it. And another one is in Obadiah. Obadiah says, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And we know Ahab was kind of a wicked king. But Obadiah was the governor of his house. Now this goes to show that you can walk in the fear of God, and you under a what you might call a president that isn't ideal, we can still walk in the fear of God. And here Obadiah says, it says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. I mean, that's interesting. Here, he was the governor in Ahab's house, and because it says he feared the Lord greatly, He took these people, these prophets, and hid them in caves of 50. Walking in the fear of God is not a glamorous thing. It's going to be a decision. I mean, there was when he decided to do that, I don't think that he did it because it was something that was easy, but he knew it wasn't right. And I think we can do the same thing. You know, as I read there about how the Hebrew women, you know, they feared the Lord. I mean, we can in the midst of the world that we live in that's killing babies, we can walk in the fear of God. It's not going to look glamorous, but God will reward us if we walk in the fear of the Lord. Another one is Nehemiah. Nehemiah 5:15 says, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I because of the fear of God. Basically taking advantage of the people. There was people taking advantage of other people, but Nehemiah came along. And he feared God. I mean, he took a different route. And we as his children, when we fear him, we're not going to be doing the same thing that the world around us is doing. And also in, to continue on in Nehemiah, there in Nehemiah 7:2, it says, "Now it came to pass that when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, and I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many." Here we see Nehemiah chose, it says, my brother Hananiah. The reason that he chose him was because it says he was a faithful man and feared God above many. The fear of God was in his life. And then another one, I'm just kind of going through these. There's a lot of examples. I'm not sure if I even got all of them. There was some more that I didn't. I just kind of took the highlight, the ones that stood out to me the most. Job 1:8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" That was a mark of Job, that he feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed means, would you say despise or rejected evil? And another interesting one, we're going through the book of Jonah. And Jonah, you know, when Jonah was out on the, he ran away from God, and you wonder where was the fear of God when he did that. But when the guys on the boat asked him, what is your occupation, and you know how they had cast lots and the lot had fell on him. And then he said, we had just read this here a week or so ago, and says, "And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." Now, we might think, was the fear of the Lord actually working in his life when he ran away? You know, and I don't know, can we compare that to sometimes, you know, we know what is the right thing to do, but maybe we'd almost rather not. Maybe we kind of, a little bit like Jonah, maybe we don't do the thing that we should. But the fear of the Lord is still there. Or a situation comes along where here you could almost say that the storm came along and awoke the fear of the Lord back up in Jonah if he was running away from it. And it says, "And then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." And another one, there's one in the New Testament that is an unbeliever that, you know, this one is a real testimony of what the fear of God does. God notices it, and this is Cornelius. That is in Acts 10, verse 1. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." I mean, there you see, and if you read some more of his story, you see that humility and the fear of God is what gave him favor. And also the alms. He was helping the poor. And if you look at one of those in Matthew where it talks about the righteous, you know, the ones on the left and the ones on the right. The ones on the right, they didn't know when they had done. They almost didn't know when they had done something for the Lord. And Jesus said, "What you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Looking for opportunities where we can serve and help others, I think is a mark that the fear of the Lord is working in my life. I mean, think of your own life. I mean, do you have something? I mean, is there things in your life that you know that the fear of the Lord, that you're walking in the fear of God? Have a few more here. This is in Malachi. These are verses that are circled in my Bible. If you want to turn to Malachi chapter 3, you might know what I'm going to read already. These are Malachi chapter 3. I've circled and underlined these, and I think there's a lot of favorite verses in the Bible, but these are some of my favorite verses. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Basically, honoring the Lord in their daily lives. Do we do that? Do we honor the Lord in our everyday life? Remember that one verse that it had said that to fear the Lord all the day? And then verse 17, it says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And then in verse 18, it gets better. It says, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." There's something that we can use to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Let's go back and read verse 16 again. "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." I mean, are we of those people? Speak often one to another. And the Lord, I mean, it's interesting. A book of remembrance. The Lord writes a book too, a book of remembrance for those that feared his name. And I'm going to read a couple of verses in chapter 4. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, but it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I mean, if you look at verses like this, I mean, we are more than conquerors through him. The fear of the Lord. But remember, as I said before, it's not a glamorous thing. It's not the decisions and choices that we make are not like Noah and all those Old Testament saints that made a choice. There was a couple weeks ago that I don't know how many of you get David Wilkerson's newsletter or know who he is. Do you? Most of you know who he is. David Wilkerson. He passed away. He started Times Square Church in New York City years ago, and he was a Pentecostal preacher, and helped a lot of broken teens. Yeah, some of them pretty drastic, pretty major salvation for some young teenagers, and done a lot. And talking about the fear of God, there was a couple of weeks ago we got this one, this letter. He does, because he's dead, he's been gone for 10 years or more. Quite often it's just his son, which I don't read his sons very many. Sometimes I kind of glance over it. Occasionally he still puts his dad's, a message in from his dad. And that was a couple of weeks ago. And this really affected me. I'm not sure if I can read this or not, but I read it just before I came to church, and I almost couldn't. When I read it and I came to church and just heard the singing and stuff, it was like the mercy of God. It says, God is faithful even when we are not. I really like to read it, but I'm not sure if I can. This is a dead man speaking, basically, because he's been gone for 10 years. Says, I know all about the restraining hand of the Lord. He allows his children to go only so far, but no further. In my early days of ministry, he restrained me when I was ready to quit. It says, awful discouragement. At times I felt overwhelmed by all the financial responsibilities. I felt like a failure as a husband and father as well. I would get so low about my overwhelming obligations that I thought my faith would shatter completely. On a few occasions in my life, I was convinced there was no use trying to go on. In those times, I never considered suicide or giving up completely on the Lord, but I was tired of not understanding why my life was filled with so many struggles. Several times, I hopped in my car and drove away thinking, that's it, I'm just going to disappear. God will have to take care of this ministry and my family. I can't take any more. One particular time, I was driving south from Dallas on my way to Mexico. Thankfully, God was in the back seat. I heard him ask, David, where are you going? Like Jonah, I answered, I have had it, Lord. I'm going to Mexico.
I wish I could read it easier, but nobody will know me there, and I can witness freely without any obligations. I love you and I love my family, but I don't feel like I'm the man of God I should be. The Lord said, turn the car around now, David, before you do anything, something stupid. I kept driving, then I heard him say clearly, now, David, turn around now. If you drive another 5 miles, you are on your own. The fear of God hit me, and it shook me up. I have never wanted God to take his spirit from me. That warning was his loving hand restraining me. How many times have you been on the brink of making a foolish, horrible mistake? Did God's restraining spirit come upon you, telling you, hold it, stop right there? Even when you are faithless, he remains faithful. He comes to restrain us, to keep us from doing destructive things. Sorry about that. I wanted to read it, but I knew it was going to be hard for me because it affected me. To me, it was just such a testimony of God's mercy. How he turned around. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Sounds pretty simple, right? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes 5, says, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. I mean, I just like that. There's so many verses that, you know, there's so many distractions in life today that can take us away from the fear of God, but the word of God is clear. Fear him. Reverence him. It doesn't matter what life brings. Sometimes God just needs to, remind us again of what is most important in life. And I guess he did that for me when I read this. When I read David's letter, or part of it, it's just kind of the start of it. There was a little phrase that I read in a devotion the other day. It says, fear God and you will have nothing else to fear. May the Lord help us to fear him, and then we have nothing else to fear. There's so many things in life that tries to distract us, but fear God all the day long, every day of your life, and you will not be disappointed. May the Lord bless you.